synonyms. Tashah.
Of him
Maharaj
Dasaratha.
Api.
Also.
Bhagavan.
The
Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Eshah.
All of them.
Sakshat.
Directly.
Brahma
Mayaha.
The
Supreme Brahman. The Supreme Param Brahman.
The Absolute Truth.
Harihi.
The
Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Amsha
Amshena. By a plenary portion. Chaturdha. By fourfold expansions. Agat.
Accepted.
Putratvam.
A
sonhood.
Aprartitaha.
Being prayed for.
Surahai.
By the demigods.
Rama.
Lord Ramachandra.
Lakshmana.
Lord Lakshmana.
Bharata.
Lord Bharata.
Shatrughna.
And Lord Shatrughna.
Iti.
Thus.
Asanghya.
By different names.
So,
translation, being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with his expansion and expansions of his expansion. Their holy names were Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasaratha. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Ramachandra and his brothers, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, are all Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into many, many forms. Advaitam, Achyutam, Anarim, Anantam Rupam. That's not a devotee, is it? That's from the Brahma Samhita, 5th chapter, text 33. Although they are one and the same, Vishnu Tattva has many forms and incarnations. As confirmed in the Brahma Sanghita, in the 5th chapter, text 39, Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishtam. The Lord is situated in many forms such as Ram, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna, and these forms may exist in any part of His creation. All these forms exist permanently, eternally, as individual personalities of Godhead, and they resemble many candles. All equally powerful, Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna, who being Vishnu Tattva, are all equally powerful. And they became the sons of Maharaj Dasaratha in response to prayers by the demigods. So, read the Sanskrit again. Tashapi Bhagavanesha Sakshat Brahma Mayo Harihi Amsham Shena Chitortha Gatputratvam Bhartita Surahai Rama Lakshmana Bharata Shatrughna Iti Sanghiya. So, Om Gana Timirandasha, Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur, Unmiritam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, here in this verse is being described, basically the principle that all the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of God, at least the Vishnu Tattva incarnations, are all the same person but acting in different ways. Advaita Chuta Nadirananta Rupam Adyam Purana Purusham Naviyovaram Cha. There's not many gods. Even though Ram is there and Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna, they're all the same person, basically. And it's not that Krishna or Ram, they have a multiple personality disorder. In psychology, there's a thing called MPD, where you have someone with many different personalities. But because the Lord is unlimited, He can do many things, unlimited things, simultaneously. Like with Narada Muni, went to Dwarka to see Krishna. Krishna was in, you know, all 16,108 houses, and he was doing something different in each house. It's not that each wife had to wait 16,108 days to see Krishna. They took a number, you know. So that's God. He can do everything simultaneously. We cannot multitask very well. Actually, human beings can't multitask, even though you think you can, because you're taking time away from one task to do another task. Just like if you speak on the phone to someone and you on the computer, and I do this sometimes, the person on the other end asks me, "Are you on your computer?" Because they can hear what they say, a pregnant pause between different responses. So, you know, human beings can do it to a certain extent. Actually, women are better than men at multitasking. They can hold a baby, type on the computer, cook lunch at the same time, roll rotis, and talk on the... Anyway, so do all those things, but... Anyway, so the Lord can multitask, can really multitask, because he's unlimited. So the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra are called Nitya Leela. That means, Leela we described last night. Leela means he's playing. He's not forced to come down. He's not thinking, well, the only way I can take care of Ravana is coming down. He's thinking, basically, I arranged for Ravana to come. And I want to come because I want to have a good time fighting him. That's what he's thinking. You know, it's not... And the demigods, they're thinking, you know, oh, Krishna has to come, or Ram has to come, or an incarnation of Vishnu has to come to save us. But that's not what Vishnu was thinking. Because he can have Durga do it, or any of his agents do it. It's no problem. No problem. So, anyway, so he comes down to have a good time, but it's Nitya also. Nitya means these pastimes occur all the time. Nitya Leela. In other words, now we're remembering Lord Rama's pastimes that occurred in the Treta Yuga, millions of years ago. And in some universe, Lord Ram is just appearing. In some other universe, Lord Ram is killing Ravana. In some other universe, Lord Ram is entering into the Sarayu to go back to home, back to Godhead. So these... All these pastimes, like Prabhupada said, a routine spool. Of course, in the old days, movies meant that you had different frames. You know what a movie is? Anyway, none of you don't. Movies are. It's old technology. So you had different frames, like 25 frames a second or something like that. And because these frames were going so quickly, it appeared to be constant motion. So... Let's say if one frame goes before the projector, another frame is leaving the projector at the same time, but that frame doesn't cease to exist. And then some other movie theater, just use the movie example, they're playing the same movie, and they're just beginning the movie, and you're ending the movie. So that's why Prabhupada said routine spool. It's an interesting example that was modern when Prabhupada made the example. Now we'd have to say... a routine MP3 or routine MP4 or something like that, just to be modern. So, anyway, so proof, there is actual proof that Lord Ram's pastimes are known or were known before Lord Ram appeared. And that proof is there in the dynasty in which Lord Ram appeared, which is called the Surya Vamsa. Actually, the Lord generally appears either in the Surya Vamsa or the Soma Vamsa. That means the Sun Dynasty or the Moon Dynasty. And Krishna appeared in the Moon Dynasty. So the Sun Dynasty begins with who? Does anyone know? Vivaswan. And he's mentioned in the Gita, too. So at the beginning, in the Sun Dynasty, somehow or other, Vivaswan had deities of Sita and Ram. I mean, I don't know who gave it to him, but Prabhupada talks about this story. He had deities of Sita and Ram. And this is millions of years, basically, before Lord Ram appeared. Amazing, isn't it? Millions of years. So, anyway, so he had those deities, and then he gave those deities to his son. Who was his son? Manu. Vivasvatu Manu. And then he gave it to his son, Ikshvaku, and it was passed down, Ibam Puram Pra Praptam, Imam Rajarshadu Viduhu. So like the guru or the father would give his son the deities that he was worshiping. And that was passed down, just like, you know, who knows, I may leave my deities to Draupadi. So who knows, she's very attached to the deities. And then she'll leave them, I don't know who she'll leave them to. We'll have to see. We'll have to see what Krishna wants. Because we never know for whom the bell tolls. So, it tolls for thee. So, you can put the water down. We'll see, I'll try to do it without water. So, anyway, so those deities were passed down. Eventually, those deities were given to Dasarath, and Dasarath was worshipping them. And then Lord Ram was given those deities when Dasarath left this world. And Lord Ram, of course, was not interested in worshipping his own deities. He was not like Krishna. It's described when Krishna got up in the morning, he would meditate on himself. And there's no description like that about Lord Ram. Krishna was rather a little egotistic. In a good way. Because it's not false ego. Even there's stories about Krishna looking at a reflection of himself in a lake or a river, and he's thinking, who is this attractive young man? And even Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya, and one of the reasons Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya was to see himself from Radharani's point of view. In other words, the mirror wasn't good enough for him. So he had to appear as his devotee, as his best devotee, in order to appreciate his own beauty, in order to appreciate the love that Radharani has for him, understand the love, and also to experience the ecstasy that only devotees experience. So Lord Ram put those deities in the closet. He just locked them up. He said, I'm not going to worship these deities. But however, when Lord Ram assumed the emperorship and the kingship of Ayodhya, then there was a Brahmin there who really loved Lord Ram. And because he loved Lord Ram, he took a vow that I'm not going to eat anything today until I see Lord Ram. So every morning he'd come to the palace and offers his humble obeisances, all glorious to you, Lord Ram, all glorious to the Prabhupada. I know he didn't say that. But anyway, he offered obeisances to Lord Ram and then he could eat like anything the rest of the day. He was really happy. But sometimes Lord Ram would go on excursions. It's not that he just stayed in the palace all the time and just enjoyed life. Because Lord Ram is a perfect king. He would go out and head up the army. It's said that the kings and leaders of the government in those days would not simply sit back in a concrete bunker while their army was fighting. Nowadays, of course, they do that. Like if any of the prime ministers, kings, or anything like that had to head up their battle, there would be less wars in the world today, right? Certainly there would be less wars. I mean, like, let's say the person who's in charge, I don't know if you can call the prime minister or whatever he is, of North Korea, if he had to go with his soldiers, he would never do that. I mean, just like, he's a lazy bum. So, it's true. He just wants to enjoy life. He made a ski resort for himself, isn't it? Anyone who knows the news like I do, study the news intensely. He made a ski resort for himself. He made an amusement park only for himself and his family. And the rest of the citizens are suffering. But a real king like Ramchandra, Lord Ramchandra, would actually go out in the battlefield. So anyway, so this Brahmin, he was suffering because he couldn't eat when Lord Ram was out for a few days. And he was becoming very thin. And so he basically was in trouble. So when Lord Ram heard that, he gave those deities to the Brahmin, and that way the Brahmin could eat 24 hours a day. Because he had the deities. And so that was very nice for the Brahmin. Then when the Brahmin left this world, because the Brahmin left this world when Lord Ram left the world. Lord Ram entered in the Sarayu River, and he told his associates and the citizens of Ayodhya that anyone who wanted to go back to Godhead with him could go back to Godhead with him. But he said that, you know, Hanuman couldn't do that. And Vibhishan couldn't do that because they had responsibilities. Hanuman's responsibility was to always chant Ram Nam in Kim Purusha Loka. And Vibhishan, he had to be in charge of this kingdom of demons, who all became devotees because of his being a devotee. Anyway, so that the deities of Sita and Ram were given to Hanuman, and he was worshiping them. And then Hanuman gave them to his brother. Does anyone know who his brother is? No, he didn't give them to Bhim. He gave them to Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya. Bhim wasn't into deity worship. He was too busy eating, you know. Eating and fighting, you know. No time for worshiping the deity. He wasn't exactly inclined in that way. So, but Madhvacharya, his brother, you know, the great Acharya in our Sampradaya, was given these deities, and these deities are in Udupi today. You can go to see the deities. So those are the original deities of Pesach. So that proves that Lord Ram's pastimes are eternal. That actually proves it. They were known before, and they're going on in some other universe, so that's Nichalila. So that was the first point I wanted to make. Another point about Lord Ram's appearance is that Lord Ram, there was one, Anaranya was his name. One of the forefathers of Lord Ram was fighting Ravana many, many eons before Lord Ram appeared. I mean, this is like many, many generations. And he was fighting Ravana, and he was killed by Ravana. And he cursed Ravana that Ravana would be killed by one of his descendants. So that also predicted the advent of Lord Ram. So now I'd like to talk about Ravana, which is more interesting for me than Ram. Because, demons are much more interesting than God. So, because this is part of it, preparing for telling the Ramayana story. Of course, Ravana, I'm not going to go through the whole thing of Jai and Vijay. You know, they were cursed because the Lord wanted to fight, had those desires. I talked about that before. But let's talk about the demons for a second. Very interesting demons. So, the demons, before Ravana appeared, were actually quite discouraged and depressed. And the reason they were discouraged and depressed is that the demigods had actually cheated them. Because previously, the demigods and demons made a deal. And that deal was they would churn the milk ocean and get all sorts of nice things from the milk ocean, including the amrit, or the nectar. So the demigods approached the demons and said, let's make a deal, let's handshake on it, sign a contract. We'll share the nectar equally. And of course, the demons, they wanted to cheat. So after the nectar came out, being carried by Dhanvantari, the medical incarnation of the Lord, the demons stole the nectar. And the demigods were all bewildered. Of course, the demons didn't drink the nectar immediately because they were fighting with each other as to who would drink the nectar. Reminds me a little of the Krishna Conscious Movement. Do we fight with each other? Not nectar, who will impart his cooperation. Like I gave the example in Fiji. I said sometimes we're like a rugby team that's fighting each other for the ball rather than the other team. I said if we could actually cooperate and have some team spirit, we could change Fiji and turn Fiji into the first Krishna Conscious country. But we haven't determine that the other team is our enemy. We think that our enemy is ourselves. So anyway, isn't it? Bad rugby playing. So anyway, no team spirit. So the demons were fighting each other. No, I want the nectar. No, I want the nectar. Me first. No etiquette the demons had. Krishna took advantage of that. And he appeared as the Mohini Murti incarnation, the most beautiful lady imaginable. And when Krishna becomes a lady, it's, forget it. Even later, Lord Shiva became bewildered. There's this story, Lord Shiva said, let me see your Mohini Murti incarnation. And Krishna said, okay, here we go. And then he did that, and this story isn't there in the Bhagavatam. And then Lord Shiva was like running all over the world. He just lost everything. And poor Parvati was thinking, what's happening with my husband? He's running after this other girl who happens to be God. So, So that's Mohini Murti. So the demons, they became quite bewildered. And they said, you know, we're fighting with each other. Would you be willing to divide it up equally between us? And Mohini Murti basically said, you know, very truthfully, how could you trust me? And they said, well, we trust you because you're beautiful. I mean, I was just paraphrasing. And she sort of like preached to them, you know, it's not proper to trust me. And they said, that's all right, we trust you, we love you. You know, that also shows that when one becomes bewildered with lust in this material world, he loses his ability to take the amrit, which is the nectar of Krishna conscious immortality. In other words, you become bewildered. You say, oh, give up my Krishna conscious. Oh, it's so much nicer to enjoy, you know, whatever. Romantic affairs. Bollywood movies. Like so many devotees, they watch these Bollywood movies and while they're chanting japa. I have disciples like that. You know. They go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah. They're just watching the movie. And they said this is what enthuses them to chant Hare Krishna. So, anyway, so it's like giving up immortality for lust. So, anyway, so Mohini Murti said, okay, boys, sit down. And imagine that. She called them boys, you know, basically. And they were ready to take it from her because she was really beautiful. So they sat down, sit in two rows, the demigods on one side, the demons on the other side. And she just like divided the nectar up, gave it all to the demigods, except for one demon snuck in. He understood what had happened. That was Rahu. And she employed her Sudarshan chakra to cut his head off. But that's a different story. And Rahu was envious of the sun and the moon because they reported to Mohini that he had snuck into the demigods. So anyway, so after that, the demigods were very happy because they were drinking his amrit and nobody could defeat them. And the demons were just like really upset. You know, they become more powerful. We got to do something. You know, we don't have a powerful demon. You know, all of us are pretty incompetent compared to these powerful demigods. So they thought, how can we get a really powerful demon? Well, then they were thinking of genetic engineering. You know, like crossbreeding. You understand? Not exactly GMO, a GMO demon, you know. But they were thinking of crossbreeding a demon with the most powerful, let's say, Brahmin. Because the Brahmins are actually more powerful than the demigods. Because the Brahmins could curse, the Brahmins could bless. I mean, you have someone like Vasishtha Muni, or even Visvamrita Muni, who became a Brahmin, and he became more powerful. He created a whole universe. There was that person, Trishanku. You remember that story? Anyone know the story? Trishanku was a king, also in the same dynasty that Lord Ramchandra appeared in. And he wanted to go to heaven in the same body. Pretty good. Without changing your body. Because, you know, who wants a stool, mucus, and urine body in heaven? You know, people have, like, subtle bodies in heaven. Not spiritual bodies, subtle bodies. So, basically, what happened is he approached Vasishtha, and Vasishtha said, can't do. He approached Vasishtha's sons, and they got angry and turned him into a chandala. And then he approached Visvamitra, and Visvamitra was able to have him go to heaven, but the demigods didn't want him there. So they just, like, said, go back down. So he was like hanging in the middle of the air there, head down. You all know the story? It's a Bhagavatam story. So he was hanging upside down. And then Visvamitra created a duplicate heaven for him. That's how powerful these Brahmins were. I mean, they curse. Whatever they said came to be. So anyway, so getting back to the story of Ravan. So the demons, they've had a board meeting. And the chairman said, you know, we got to do a crossbreeding here. So there's this very powerful Brahmin, Vishravas was his name, who was executing austerity, super powerful. And he is the father of Kuvera. You know, that's pretty good if you can become the father of the treasure of the demigods. You know, you've got it made. So isn't it? So anyway, so, you know, there was very thinking about this. So we got to have someone, one of our professional demons, get married to him. And so they were looking around, you know, who can marry him? Who's really demoniac? You know, and she has to be pretty and demoniac, pretty demoniac. Anyway, so they were looking around and they found this lady, Kekashi. And they said to her, are you willing to take this mission? You know, mission impossible. Anyway, so she said, yes, I will do it. So here's this poor guy, you know, Vishravas, Brahman, meditating, om, you know, sitting there, you know. He's like minding his own business. His ashram is there. There's a bunch of brahmacharis around him. You know, life is perfect. And then this demon lady comes and approaches him and just says, I don't know what she said, but anyway, because I'm a sannyasi, I don't know what she said. But she approaches him and she's, hi. And she waves her eyelashes or something. I can't do it, but anyway. And she says, I love you. I've been watching you. It's something like Serpanaka almost did with Ram. But Ram, because he's God, he wasn't attracted to Serpanaka. He just joked with her a little bit. And later on, he told Lakshman, no more joking with ladies. He said, because he was joking first. And he chastised poor Lakshman for joking. But it was his fault, right? He was the one who said, I have a brother here and his wife's not here. You know, go enjoy with him. And so Serpanaka went. And anyway, one thing led to another. And she had her nose and ears cut off. So anyway, this Kekashi goes to Vishravas. And ultimately, he falls for her. She says, you know, it's a principle that if a woman approaches you, that you have to accept. You know, she preached him, but he really didn't have to accept because she wasn't the proper type of woman. I mean, she was a Rakshasini, a woman who ate human flesh. So anyway, that's what a Rakshas is. So anyway, so they had a marriage, very quick Gandharva marriage, where you exchange garlands, saves money. Just like many of the parents who have daughters are very worried about paying for marriages, isn't it? Because they can pay for the next 30 years. They got to take a mortgage out on the house and keep paying and paying and paying. Phew. Wow. Very expensive, isn't it? So anyway, so they were thinking of saving money, so they just exchanged garlands. You know, instant. And there's another type of instant marriage called Rakshasa marriage, with kidnapping. Krishna did that, Arjuna did that. That's a nice marriage, too. Very romantic. So anyway, so they had the marriage, and the brahmacharis, they looked at their guru. Hey, Gurudev, what did you do? You married this Rakshasa lady. And what could he say? He was love. So all the brahmacharis, they just left the ashram. The poor guru was left there with his Rakshasa lady. Rakshasini, sorry. So, you know, his brahmachari. You know, obviously you lose faith in your guru if he's walking around with a Rakshasini lady. I mean, there's no problem with him being married if he's married to a proper brahmani. Or even a kshatriya is all right. But a Rakshasini, you know, that's a little bit too much, you know. She wasn't a vegetarian either, you know. bad match. So anyway, so the children start coming out. And, you know, first there's Robin. And he trained Robin up. He tried to make Robin a good Brahmin. He tried his best. He taught Robin the mantras, how to chant and everything like that. And Robin will learn those things. He became so expert that sometimes it's described even when Lord Shiva or other demigods were doing sacrifices, they would call Ravana to help with the sacrifice because he was so expert in his chanting. Not like the devotees in Fiji, who mispronounce all the mantras. But he was very expert. Anyway, so But he had, you know, a lot of Rakshas tendencies too at the same time. So he became powerful as a Brahmin and his Rakshasa tendencies. And then, of course, Kumbhakarna was born. Kumbhakarna means like his ears were like pots. Did you know that? Kumbha means pot. Karna is ear in Sanskrit. And so his ears looked like pots. They were big. I mean, because he was giant. And he had a big appetite, more than Bhimsen he could eat. In fact, there was a lot of anxiety in the universe because there wasn't food left for anyone else who would eat so much. But we'll tell a little bit of that story in a second. And then, of course, Vibhishan and Sarpanaka and Karan Dushan. So they had nice family there, family reunion. So they decided to execute some austerities. That's Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Vibhishan, and Sarpanaka. And most of you know this story. They were worshiping Lord Brahma. As it says in the Gita, that those who worship the demigods get their fruits of their worship very quickly, but they're temporary. And, of course, Krishna does say in the Gita, Avidhi Purvakam, it's not recommended for people to worship the demigods. So, but anyway, they were worshiping Lord Brahma, and you know, Ravan was, he's called Dasa Griva, because he had 10 heads. And each head actually had a slightly different personality to it. It wasn't that they were all like duplicates of each other. So whenever there was some decision to be made, they would have a meeting, like a board meeting we talked about before. And, you know, one head was expert in Nitya Shastra, the other one was pretty lusty. Usually the lusty one won out. especially even when they had the discussion about whether to kidnap Sita Devi or not. So, anyway, so 10 heads, you know. You don't need anyone else to make decisions. It's just you don't need to call a meeting because everybody's already there. But Ravana didn't always manifest 10 heads. It was when he wanted to, when he was angry, then the 10 heads came out. It's not that he was always walking around with 10 heads. That would have been a little unwieldy. So then what happened is that he kept offering his heads to Lord Brahma. Ramaya Namaha, Ramaya Namaha, Ramaya Namaha. And the heads kept growing back. And Lord Brahma came eventually because he was offering his heads, and he said, you know, what sort of blessings do you want? And he says, I want, like all the demons say, I want immortality. And Lord Brahma said, well, guess what? Can't give it. Can't give immortality because basically even I can. I'm not immortal in the present form. And so, you know, give me some other request. And so he said, well, let's figure out how I can become immortal in a indirect way. I don't want to be killed by, you know, the demigods or rakshasas or powerful. He left out, of course, human beings and animals because he thought, you know, who's worried about an ant? Those little puny things, you know. They'll never kill me. Of course, there are ants that can kill you in this world. So he left out them, and he thought, well, I've achieved immortality. And you see, it's mentioned that when demons ask for benedictions like that, the benediction actually predicts the way that they're going to die. You know, you could understand how they're going to die just if you analyze the benediction. It's like there's a story in the Mahabharata about two demons, Sunda and Upasunda. And they were so powerful that nobody could defeat them. And they got a benediction from Lord Brahma. They were brothers. They loved each other. Brothers always love each other. They never argue. So anyway, they loved each other. And so they said, well, Lord Brahma said, you can choose how you're going to die. And they said, well, we'll only die if we kill each other. And so Lord Brahma said, okay. That's a benediction. They thought, well, we tricked Lord Brahma. But Lord Brahma had another plan. He asked Vishwakarma to create the most beautiful girls so they would fight with each other. Mm-hmm. And her name was Tilottama. That means like a sesame, the best sesame girl. Like in India, sometimes at some places, if you really want to praise a woman, you say my little sesame seed or something like that. I don't know why. If she looks like a sesame seed, she's in trouble. So anyway, so Tilotama, of course, doesn't mean it's considered very auspicious. That's why it was there. Uttama Tilotama. Yeah, so, and then she circumambulated the demigods to get their blessings before she went out on her mission to cause these two demons to kill each other. And she was so beautiful because she was constructed by Vishvakarma from all the beautiful things in the universe. And the demigods, some of them grew extra heads on their bodies just to see her. Because they didn't want to turn around like that. So ultimately, she went, and Sundar and Upasundar were, they were drunk. And so they fought each other and killed each other. So anyway, I'm making the point that, and of course with Hiranyakashipu, it's the same thing. You know, any of these demons who get benedictions from the demigods, it actually predicts how they're going to die. So Ravana's benediction predicted how he was going to die. And so then Kumbhakarna, he says to Lord Brahma, I want a benediction. And you all know the story. He wanted to take over the heavenly planets. He wanted Indra's throne. That means Indra Asana. So it was required that the goddess learning would affect his mind. So he would say something different. You know, he would slur his words. He said, I want Nidra Asana. So it came out Nidra Asana, a bed. I want a bed. That's basically it. Nidra Asana is a name for a bed. So next time you want to go to sleep, you say, I'm going to my Nidra Asana. And so anyway, so he got, the Lord Brahma said, yeah, you can sleep forever. And then Ravana said, hey, Lord Brahma, you know, he's your creation. How could you do this to him? And Lord Brahma said, okay, maybe we'll make a little concession. He can wake up every 6 months. And that took care of his eating habits because, you know, he couldn't eat that much just in one day every 6 months. And it was predicted, of course, that when he was woken up one time when it wasn't the proper, you know, six-month period, that's the time he would die. And Ravana later woke him up at that time, and he did die. So then you get to Vibhishan, he doesn't ask for immortality. He asks for devotion and dharma all the time. And the Lord Brahma said to him, you're immortal. It's in the Valmiki Ramayana, it says that, you know. That he, so he got the benediction of immortality because a devotee is always immortal. Because he's absorbed in Krishna's service. He's immortal. So, and then you had cute little Sarpanaka. She got her benediction. She wanted the benediction that she could change her form at will. Because I guess she wasn't so good looking, you know. So she wanted, like, fancy plastic surgery. So she could look beautiful. And later on, you know, she used that when she approached Ravana Lakshman. So anyway, so this is the some of the stories in the beginning, and tomorrow we can tell some of the stories about Ravana's curse, how he was cursed by different personalities that ultimately predicted how he was going to die. But this, as I mentioned before, this is all part of the Lord's Leela. It's fun for Krishna. He's enjoying watching this. And Ravana, I mean, one point is, you may say, why were Jaya and Vijay forced to do this? You know, they're supposed to be pure devotees. You know, how can God do this to his devotees? I mean, you read these other stories like Tulsi, Shalagram, Vivaha, how the residents of, you know, the spiritual world are cursed by Radharani to come down. And he said, what? What kind of God is this that he arranges these curses? And, you know, the devotee is making them miserable. You know, I don't want to worship Krishna. I don't want to go back to Godhead because then, you know, the same thing will happen to me. Well, the point is that ultimately it's borne out that Jaya and Vijay were happy to do it because they're pure devotees. They want to give the Lord pleasure. So it was their desire too. See, we're thinking from a material perspective that going back to Godhead to us means my enjoyment. Isn't it? That's our conception of going back. Yeah, I get to enjoy in the spiritual world, you know, the desire trees. I can get globjamins anytime I want and pizza and ice cream. You know, wow, fantastic place, you know. Surabhi cows, you know, like paneer sabji every day. So that's a sense gratificatory way of looking at the spiritual world. But when you go to the spiritual world, if you go to the spiritual world, I should be more precise in my language, you will have the consciousness that I just want to give Krishna pleasure. Krishna, you can crush me by your embrace, leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. So if it gives you pleasure, if my pain gives you pleasure, then my pain is my pain is my pleasure. That's what the gopis say, basically. And my suffering is my happiness. So basically, the devotees wanted to do that. I mean, they enjoy being part of the Leela. They enjoy it. And of course, under Yogamaya, they're forgetting their devotional position too, but they're so surrendered. You know, if Krishna gives you pleasure, do it to me. Send me to the material world. Wow. And that's a pure devotee. I don't think any of us would be willing to do that. You know, we're up there in the spiritual world, and Krishna says, you know, I'd like you to become a demon. I say, no way, Krishna. Then if you say that, you'd go back to the material world anyway. Because you're not qualified to be in the spiritual world, right? So think about that. Interesting. So anyway, so Jai and Vijay ultimately were very happy to perform that service for the Lord because it gave him pleasure. That's mentioned elsewhere. They were very happy. It gives you pleasure. So the pure devotee is always like that. If it gives you pleasure, Krishna, whatever you want, do. Right now we don't say that because it's too dangerous. We don't say, Krishna, give me more and more difficulties so I can remember you, like Queen Kuti said. We say, Krishna, give us less and less difficulties so I can enjoy. So, any other questions or any questions or comments? That one Ram's best. No questions, comments, arguments, problems?
Bhim got married to this Vidamba, the Rajas.
Yeah.
What was the... I mean, he had defeated the father, the king, that was...
He had defeated the brother.
The brother.
Brother was also named Hidimba. Okay. Because the brother wanted to eat him. And Hidimbi, actually, that's a female, was thinking... Eating him would only be for a few moments' enjoyment, but I would enjoy with him for my whole life. So, what's the question?
What was the reason that Bhim got married to Vidamba?
Ah, well, several reasons. Of course, Ghatakacha had to be created. Yeah, but the reason, because she was left without any protection, this poor Hidimbi. She was left without any protection, she approached Bhim, didn't want to marry her. You know, he's thinking, what? Rakshasini lady. Of course, she was a nice Rakshasini. She was actually in love. It wasn't a plan. And he was thinking, I don't want to marry her. But she approached Kunti. And she said, I have no protection. I'm in love with your son. And so Kunti, you know, being a pure devotee of the Lord, somehow or other, got Krishna's instruction from within to order Bhim to do it. And Bhim became very happy. And for 1 year after they got married, they were flying around. It's described in the Mahabharata. She was taking him to all the pilgrimage, I guess, Rakshasa pilgrimage places. You know, their honeymoon, he didn't need to go on an airplane because he had his wife as an airplane. You know, because Rakshasas can fly in the air. So they went everywhere. And of course, Yudhisthira said, you know, 1 year you can have him and then we'll have him back, or as soon as the kid is born. And so when Ghatakacha was born, the Rakshasas, they grow up immediately after birth. So immediately after birth, he became strong. And it's interesting, it's described that Ghatakacha means his head was like a pot. He was bald-headed. He had a chicken and everything. No, I don't know if he had a chicken. But anyway, he was bald-headed, and he approached Bhim, and he said, you know, whenever you want me, just call for me. And so the reason is because Kunti asked him to marry her. And she was unsheltered, she was surrendered, you know. For Kshatriya, basically they have to accept a surrendered soul. You know, I'm not saying, we don't do that in Kali Yuga. But for a kshatriya, you know, if a woman approaches, they could have many wives. Like Arjuna, when he was, he actually took a vow of brahmacharya, it didn't last very long. So when he intruded upon Draupadi and Yudhisthira one time to get his weapons, he had to take a vow to just like go and be brahmacharya for some time and go on pilgrimage. And one of the first things he did was go bathing in the Ganges River, and he got pulled down by Lady Ulupi, who proposed to him, and then that was it, you know. And then he went to Manipur, and also, what was her name in Manipur that he got married to? Such with a C. Chitranga. So he got married to her. So he's had a bunch of wives, and then finally he ends up visiting Krishna in Dwarka, and he kidnaps Subhadra. And poor Draupadi, he comes back with Subhadra. And Draupadi said, no way. And Subhadra had to actually dress up like a coward girl and just touch Draupadi's feet to get forgiveness. Anyway, so that's the whole story. So, Kshatriyas did have that duty too. That if and she was basically qualified, even though she was a Rakshasini, she actually was a pious one. Because later on, Bhimsen sort of chastised her because she got back into eating meat again. And you know, he went to visit one time, and you know, saw some I don't know, it was human beings, you know, some flesh there, and Bhimsen chastised her. So. I mean, she had some tendencies, but it was part of the Leela. It was part of the Leela, but Kunti asked Bhimsen to marry her. And it was good because Ghatakacha saved Arjuna's life. If it wasn't for him, Arjuna would have been killed in the battle by the dart of Indra that was given to Karna. So any other questions? Anyone would want a Rakshasini wife? We'll take you to Fiji. That'll be our preaching program. All right. Because in Fiji they used to eat human beings. They were kind of, it was called the Cannibal Islands. They would eat the ministers who came to preach to them. And they would even eat the boots. Make boot soup.
No, they were given the chance by the British Guru Maharaj.
Yeah.
That the British people deliberately brought more men and less ladies when they were working on the indentured system.
Yeah.
The idea was to let them marry the local girls.
It didn't work.
No, the Indian people were so embedded in their own culture.
They wouldn't do it.
They wouldn't do it. They shared the grandmoms, but they wouldn't marry another lady from outside their culture.
Yeah, that's strong. I have one disciple in Jakati who married a Fijian lady. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? You were there. I think you were there.
No, but I
heard about it. So it happens sometimes. Nowadays it's happened. But in the old days, they were so strong in their culture. Yeah, that happens. Sometimes. Okay, I think it's time to end class because we've got a lot of things to do today, a lot of places to go, a lot of prasadam to eat. All glorious.